Join the chorus. It's time for another North Melbourne Footy Club update with Dean Vasek and special guests on Hashtag Kangaroos.
So before we start today's show, I wanted to get a word from our sponsor. So who here has tried to sell a house and been told by a real estate agent, yeah, mate, yeah, this piece of shit of a house, I'll get you $800,000 for this, no worries at all. Only to be told 3 weeks later, or 2 weeks later, or whatever, oh no, you'll have to drop the prices. You're just not getting any interest. And then it gets passed at auction, and you're stressed out trying to sell it, because you've got mortgage payments, bills, and everything else that comes with life. Well, stress no more. Barry Plant Craigieburn will look after you without the stresses of trying to sell a house. I've had first-hand experience in selling a house with Barry Plant, and have smashed the reserve price quite easily both times. Also, if you are looking at renting an investment property, they will look after you as well with getting the best tenants possible with thorough background checks. You don't have to do anything except watch the rent come into your account. Barry Plant will take care of everything. No stress and no worries. Just ask for Damien Cavalli at Barry Plant Craigieburn or any of the other friendly staff and they will look after you. Just say hashtag kangaroos or Dean Vasek recommended you. Also, Damien's a North supporter, so he's more than happy to chat about North while he's looking after your best interest as far as buying or selling a house or even renting an investment property. So just call Barry Plant Craigieburn on 9305 5533 or go to www.barryplant.com.au. Anyways, that's it. On with the show. Welcome to another episode. My name is Dean Vasek. You can find me on Twitter at hashtag Kangaroos or on Instagram at hashtag Kangaroos Podcast. So today I was once again joined by Mark Hello to talk about the AFL men's team. I haven't done an AFL men's podcast for a couple of weeks now, so there's a bit of news to catch up on. Alistair Clarkson coming back November 1st, which is great news, obviously. Jason Horne-Francis and Cameron Zerha, the whole thing there. That and plenty more we'll discuss, so I won't hold you up anymore. I'll bring on Mark right now.
All right, so once again, joined by Mark Hello. Now, it's been a few weeks, Mark, and it's been a couple of weeks since I talked about the men's team. I think you were supposed to be on the last episode till you had an automobile accident. We might as well start with the biggest news in the last 24 hours, and that's Alistair Clarkson returning November 1st, the first day of our pre-season training. We won't get into too much of the details about the whole situation, but that's pretty good news for the club, isn't it?
Yeah, I think the thing that I think most supporters are taking as a positive or are happy about, one, that he's obviously back, but it's a very sure sign that the board, the club, and particularly Sonia Hood are pretty confident in the detail that he's given them. To a point where I can't imagine they'd be making a move like this, and nor would Brisbane for that matter, if they didn't have a pretty, you know, fair degree of confidence in the circumstances surrounding those allegations and the way that he's explained that he handled it. So, you know, everything, a lot of that's obviously to play out. And we don't even know yet at this stage if the accusers or the families involved are even taking part in the investigation. I think we find that out they've got till Friday to say whether they are or they aren't. So, I think that's the positive, that the club feels fairly confident in him. And I note that I don't know where I saw it on the news, but her note to us as members today, but she also sent out a note to staff, and she sounded pretty positive about Alistair with that as well, just saying he's one of us, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that's the best part about it from both Brisbane and North's perspective, is that both clubs feel pretty confident about where their two people sit and the explanations they've given. And obviously, though, that means their explanations are probably quite consistent, and you would think so is James Burt. So, look, whatever happens, it's going to be more complicated than the ABC report put out, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah, 100%. I mean, it's dragged on a long time. And like you said, we still don't know the names of anyone.
No.
Which, you know, you can read into that what you want. And, yeah, the longer it's dragged out, more chances are that it looks like they're not going to, you know, speak up or anything like
that. Oh, just as an aside too, Dino, I find it interesting that as part of the terms of reference, they make they referenced the point that they're going to investigate the process that was carried out by Egan at doing the investigation for Hawthorn and whether it was appropriate. So I find that interesting. Just to see that in there, why would that even be in there unless there was some concern over that? So I found that intriguing reading that. You can't read too much into it, but it's interesting that they are going to look at the way it was conducted.
Yeah, which is, I suppose they've got to look at everything at the moment, don't they? True. So, yeah, I mean, I guess the main point is, look, he starts the first day of pre-season. There's no disruption. I mean, I don't even know who would be pre-season training if Alistair Clarkson was going to be held out for definitely. So I just think it bodes well for the playing group that, we've got a routine now. He's obviously got a in place. For day one pre-season, and he gets to know all the players a lot quicker as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, it's a good point you make. I mean, it would be, again, the club would be taking such an incredible risk if they were really, really concerned or felt like it was very 50-50 about whether he'd be coaching beyond December. I don't know if it subjected the playing group to that sort of turmoil, on again, off again turmoil. It just reinforces to me that they're reasonably confident that he'll be the coach next year. You can't be certain, and there's still plenty to play out, but it's certainly a positive sign, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. It'll be good to, we'll obviously see him in the next few days at the club, which is fantastic. Obviously, there's mixed reports from everyone, but it is what it is. So, a part of his coaching group, Lee Adams, has been officially named as our forwards coach in 2023. That's good reward for effort. And Tom Lynch, our VFL coach, it's thoroughly deserved by Patch, isn't it?
I'm thrilled for him. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who wasn't impressed with the way he handled things, and both as coach and in the way he was so supportive of the club, pursuing Clarko. Just the whole way he handled himself in every regard, I thought was excellent. I think as soon as Noble left, he started to impose some discipline. I don't want to drag up the Jason Horne Francis conversation too much or too early, but just in terms of Taron Thomas and Jason Horne Francis and those sort of, I think he made it pretty clear that behavioural standards were going to have to be met going forward. And I just thought he was terrific in the way he spoke to the media. I think one day he's got the potential to be a senior coach. He's very young. That's a long way off, but I'm very excited for him that he'll get the chance to work under Clarkson. I think that'll be a terrific thing. And if there's one area that that team needs help in terms of, on the ground, it's the forward line. That's the one area that most supporters have found really frustrating. The way, I think we must have said it a million times during the season, the ball just going in and being walked straight out of it. A lack of structure and anything else. So I think that'll be exciting to have someone different running our forward line for sure.
Yeah, 100%. I can't even remember who was our forwards coach last season. Was it, wasn't uni, was it? No, I don't think so.
It was Heath Uni.
So he was quickly let go after the season finished. Obviously, Noble brought him down. So that is probably one of our biggest issues, just the synergy between the midfield going forward. And just to ease the teams, walk the ball out a lot throughout the course of the year. And that pretty much started from round one against Hawthorn, where CJ pretty much could do whatever he wanted. And obviously a lot of controversy about playing three tools in the forward line, like three ruckmen is effectively as forwards and rucks. We kind of need to work on that. That's probably going to be our biggest...
That was a great example of just trying to set up the same way Brisbane did, but without the fast smalls there to be able to hold the ball in. Just didn't work. Anyway, we move on, but you're absolutely right. That it did start in round one last year.
Yeah. So no, that'll be good. I find it a bit strange that I'll just go off topic a little bit. While we're talking, small forwards and the possibility of getting like a Harry Sheasel, who would fill that need a lot. Are you a bit surprised that they don't put the draft a bit earlier to coincide with the start of pre-season training? Like they start a month behind.
I can only assume it's to do with final year exams. There's no other reason for it that I can think of, because you're right, it makes no sense. But I suppose it's unfair if some kids get to start who aren't doing final year and some are. So I think they just wait till those exams are finished so they can't be accused of interfering in school.
Yeah, you have to think that's the case, yeah.
You have to think so. Otherwise, it just makes no sense. It's hard enough. Hard enough when you're 18 coming in and already being weeks behind. But, that would have to be the reason.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, that makes sense, I suppose. I mean, I don't think schools are going to accommodate AFL draft prospects and put exams in at the end of October. Otherwise, I'll be going on. school is pretty early, so
yes,
2 months late. That's fair enough, I suppose. I completely forgot about that, but not to worry, we'll move forward. Now, there's obviously a lot of talk about our CEO position. Peter Bell has rejected that position, and there's obviously talk about Andrew Demetrio as a possible CEO. Would you be happy with that one?
I'll answer that in a sec, but weren't they just sounding him about potential candidates, or is there just talk that he himself might actually be a chance of doing it?
Oh, look, you hear a lot of reports in the media. His name was mentioned, so I guess I'm throwing a hypothetical out there that
he's
a possibility to be a CEO, because at the moment it's gone all quiet there. Obviously, we've had a lot of Alistair Clarkson talk and Jason Owen Francis, so we've kind of put that towards the back burner a little bit.
If you can put aside the Gold Coast issue, I mean, just park that for a second and just talk about his credentials, because there would be some people, many people probably would have a lot of issues with the fact that he was in charge of the AFL at the time they tried to move us to the Gold Coast. So that would have to be overcome. But that aside, I'd be thrilled to have him.
What are the main reasons for that?
Well, he's known to have very good commercial acumen. He understands the way the AFL works, and he's got relationships within the AFL and the commission. So I'd imagine that'd be advantageous. And the amount of sponsors and commercial networking he's done over the last 20 years would stand us in good stead as well. So, plus, he obviously understands the game and is a 100-game player for the club. So I think there'd be certainly some benefits given. No one could say he's not qualified from that perspective. But then there's the argument, has he shown himself in any shape or form to be a North Melbourne person in the last 15 years?
I'll say no.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people would agree with you.
Yeah, I think you make good points that he's very much a business person. Now, I've read, I don't know if you've ever read the book The Boys Club by Michael Warner.
No.
He's not a fan of the metro. He's not much of a people person. My thing is that he's very much a business thing, and that he would, after a couple of years, he'll try and move us to Tasmania. Basically, because he'll think, this is a great business deal, we've got to take it, sort of thing. That's the only problem I have with him.
He was on a podcast recently, and he's admitted that it was the best thing for North not to go to the Gold Coast. And he actually said it's a ridiculous, it's absolutely ridiculous for people to suggest North should go to Tassie.
Yeah, I don't know if he's just saying it to try and, because it's almost like a bit of a job interview, the way he talks, that he wants to, he's saying all the right things, but I'm not too sure. I've got my doubts about him.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
Yeah, and just the whole Gold Coast thing just never sat well with me. I know it's a long time ago, and we all move on. It was 2007. He was the CEO of the AFL, but just the way he talked about it, and he talked down about the club, they can take a $100 million package, or they can just go back to being irrelevant, sort of thing. He sort of said it in those words. I've certainly got my reservations about him, and I just don't think he's much of a people person either. He just doesn't fill me as a North Melbourne person.
He's it's funny. It's an interesting point. So he might, in some ways, he might be more suited to running an organisation the size of the AFL than one small as North Melbourne, because you're right. It's true. You do need to be a people person. Look, there'd be you could argue it for hours, I guess. But
yeah, of course.
I'm not dead against it, but at the same time, I understand the reservations as well. And if it went wrong, it could go horribly wrong, because he's got a big ego. So you'd have to be very confident that he and Clarkson would see eye to eye. Otherwise, it could be a disaster.
Yeah, 100%.
You don't want a Jeff Kennett's. That's the last thing Clarkson needs, is another type of Jeff Kennett situation again.
The big personalities with the big egos. Yeah, no, it's. It'll be interesting to see what comes out of that. I mean, have you found it bizarre that, he's the only name that's been linked to that? It's sort of gone pretty much dead quiet, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has. I mean, I read the article, the way I read it was that they'd asked him for some advice on who else they should approach. And I'm not even sure if that was the headhunting company or was North themselves, or just Sonia having a coffee with him. You know, it could have been as simple as that. Yeah. But look, I think they're doing the right thing. They're not rushing. You know, in the past we've rushed people in that weren't quite ready for the role. They'd never done the role before. We've given them an opportunity. To be honest, I wish Carl Delena was still in the role. I thought he was excellent. I didn't think it was a good idea to let him go at the time. But so I don't mind the fact they're not going to rush. You know, there's no point just putting someone in for the sake of having someone in the role. This time they've got to actually make sure they get this right. And go through a really thorough process. And it's not just, Clarko has to have a certain type of person to work with. And if they don't get that right, it can be really troublesome. So, I think, to be honest with you, I think Viney is going to be the main person that will deal with the CEO, and they'll probably try and let Clarko just do his thing without having to worry about that. Which is sort of the way Fagan worked, and it was, you know, that worked brilliantly. And I think that's the role Vine is sort of playing. Yeah. It's getting late in the piece, but I suppose they've had so much on their plate, unfortunately. Now, the other thing is other assistant coaches. They haven't actually said how many, if any, extra coaches we're planning to have.
Because Anthony Rocker left, Heath Uni have left. Jordan Russell, as far as I know, is still in the role.
I
suppose he would be. But it probably leaves, a senior assistant. John Blakey, I assume, is still at the club. They haven't spoken about him leaving.
So maybe there may be only one position left that they want to fill in that area. I'm not sure.
Maybe Adam Uzo might come along, or... Oh, well, he's went to Glasgow with Brendan Bolton. So Brendan Bolton seems to have a habit of following him around as well.
My understanding is that I can't remember which Selwood. One of the Selwood brothers is at Collingwood, and there's a bit of double up with Bolton's role and that person's role. So I wouldn't be in the Selwood role. I'd heard that mid-season. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bolton became available. And he came. That wouldn't be a bad move either. Obviously, he and Clarks have a very good working relationship. So,
it'd be interesting to see. Brett Ratton, could be a possibility now, unfortunately for him.
I don't know how it ended with he and Clarkson, but I'm assuming it ended well when he left.
Would have ended better than how it ended with Carlton and St Kilda. So
yes, that's for sure.
I mean, it sounds like we do need a senior assistant. So we haven't heard anything about John Blakey or Jordan Russell being moved on, and Lee Adams is a forwards coach. So yeah, we'll find out.
Gavin Brown's the other one. I assume he's still there too.
Yeah, development coach Brent Harvey as well. Far as I know, they've still got roles. And until the club tell us otherwise, I assume they're still at the club. So, and yeah, Tom Lynch is obviously a VFL coach now, which is good. So, yeah, we might as well go to list changes. We've obviously had the four delistings just recently. So, Jed Anderson probably the biggest name. But, we had... Atu Bosanavalagi, Kane Turner, and Josh Walker. Were you surprised that they didn't keep any one of them?
Not really. I'll start with Jed Anderson, and I'm not going to get into the gossip around that because we don't know. It's just, you know, people have no idea that. And I don't even think it's probably right. But regardless, let's just assume the Jed Anderson one is just purely a football decision, and I think it is. I think partly he did himself no favours in the way he returned and had to have a 10-week pre-season. They probably felt like he let a few people down at the time with that. I don't think that helped his cause. And more than anything else, I just think they've got Greenwood, and Greenwood's under contract and he's not. And between Cunnington, Greenwood and Jed Anderson, I think it's just three too much of the same thing. And I'm not comparing Cunnington to the other two. He's miles ahead, obviously. But I just think he's unlucky in that regard that if Green was out of contract, I almost think they'd prefer to keep Jed Anderson. But they don't have a choice. So they probably feel in terms of experience in that midfield, Cunners and Greenwood are it. And they don't want to keep Powell and Phillips, in particular those two, out of that midfield. Because you've obviously got Taron Thomas playing in the midfield as well. So, you know, with Jason Horne-Francis going out and Phillips probably coming back from injury, I think Powell struggles playing in different positions. I think he's a pure midfielder, and I think they'll want to give him more opportunity in there next year. So I think that's a bit of the thinking, but that's a guess, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably looking at an early draft pick like a Wardlaw as well.
Well, that's right. That's spot on. Yeah.
So that's another midfielder. It's probably going to, look, if they're going to keep Jed Anderson, they probably would have put him in the half forward flank. Or something like that, out of the midfield. And they probably just think, oh, well, he doesn't add as much as we'd like there. So,
Not when you've got people like Eddie Ford and, you know, and potentially a Sheasel coming in.
Yeah.
And then they're hoping Phoenix Spicer comes on. He's got a bit of work to do over the preseason. And obviously Curtis was a star there. So, you know, I think, rather than trying to turn people into forwards, I think they're going to really focus on the specialist forwards this year, next year, I should say.
Which makes sense. Yeah, like you said at the start, you know, that's got to be an area that we've really got to focus on next season. Our ability to play a forward half game and just getting a bit better synergy between the midfield and forwards, because as well as last year, it was either too congested or it was the ball movement was too slow, or the leading patterns were terrible by the forwards going towards the ball. So, they got to work on that, and I think Clarkson will be very good for that. So,
100%.
We'll see how we go. Now, obviously, we did another trade even after the trade period. We've got another draft pick in the 20s from the Adelaide Crows. So we get pick 23 for a future second next year and pick 59 this year. You happy to get another pick in the 20s this year?
I am very happy because I know a lot of people say, well, next year's draft's better, but I think Clarko will be looking at the list age, the profile of our group, and going, well, we've got two first-round picks next year. That's about it for him in terms of kids for a while, I would have thought. So he probably wants to go hard this draft and pick up the two guns in the first round next year. And then after that, I reckon he's going to go needs basis, and they're probably going to be mature age or a lot more of mature age players that he targets and free agents. So I don't mind it at all. I think, you know, you can't, we're already young enough, and I think two first rounders next year is going to be more than enough. So I don't have any problem with it all. I'm a bit confused though about how they're going to do it. Are they going to open up another list spot and move someone like Hall to the rookie list to create five spots, or are they going to combine the two picks in the late, you know, the early 40s that might come into the late 30s with Brisbane with the bidding on Ashcroft? Are they going to combine those for another pick and then have four, you know, in the first 30? Is that the plan? It's a bit confusing. Because there's only four list spots, and you would assume one of them is for Cooper Harvey.
Yeah, well, 100%. So I think he gets bid in the 30s or 40s. Like, as far as we know, maybe 30s or 40s he gets bidded on. So yeah, look, it's a bit of an interesting one. What they're going to do with that? Like you said, they could always trade out one of the 40s for a future. I don't know, second or third next year, whatever it is. Probably a future third next year if they want to do that. Yeah, look, they did that with Jared Pollock last year, didn't they? They sort of delisted him and re-rookied him.
I think there's a fair chance Hall they'll do that with Hall. I mean, they're probably assuming Hall's got 1 year left. The rookie list makes no difference to either your salary or your ability to play in the senior. So who cares? I mean, but they if they're going to use those, you know, the two, what is it now? We've got picks
23, 23, 23, 40, 23.
Yeah, so if they're going to use all of those five, they're going to have to move one. I mean, I would do that. I think that makes sense to move Hall and bring in another kid. They're all relatively early picks, and that could set us up, you know, for the next 10 years. We should really have the basis of the squad we need. It's purely about development, and if it, you know, and you have to have faith in Clarko and the way he'll set it up to make sure that happens. So, and that allows him. Then they've still got some more, you know, elite talent coming in the first round next year, and then after that they can start. Hopefully, Clarko will. Unfortunately, the timing of this year was awful because it just stopped him being able to get more involved in any other players we wanted to bring in, which was a pity. But I was very, very relieved we still ended up with Logan Tucker. Yeah, I mean, I thought that was great that they stuck with us and came through. That was fantastic. So, and I think certainly Logue, I think that's a fantastic get for us. That really does shore things up in our back line. Who was the boy who came in from the VFL mid-season into our back line?
Oh, Callum Dawson.
Yeah, I've got a lot of confidence in him as a player too. I think with the pre-season, he'll be really good as well. So that we're in a much, much better position there. We've just got to hope Charlie Coleman stays fit in the off-season. He looks super fit. I know he's been training very hard. So I'm hoping his body holds out and he can be some help on the forward line for us.
Yeah. No, that's look, he's probably one of the most important players that we need. Around one next year, you'd have to think that, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. He's anyone who's watched him, and there's a lot of us that have commented on Twitter about him. Even after he hadn't played for a year and a half, he straight up he looked too good for the VFL. So he's just he's tough and he's a great kid. He's a great North person already. I think everyone wants to see him do well. He's just one of those bodies that sometimes it takes a few years to grow into it. He's been unlucky, but he's a really good athlete and he's starting to get strong now. So yeah, I think he could be really exciting and he's mobile, so he can go up and back. He's a good runner. Whereas Callum Coleman Jones and Cherry aren't, you know, they're not the greatest movers, so. You know, they could work potentially resting down there, but that'll be the other interesting thing next season is how that works between the three ruckmen. I'm not sure. Well, I don't know what Clarko's thinking is on that, whether he likes playing three ruckmen or he prefers one main ruckman and someone pinch hitting. We'll have to see. But Coleman certainly can do that. He can pinch hit the ruck, no problem.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the thing. We've got to get that... That positional battle right, I guess, because I think Callum Coleman-Jones is better forward than Tristan Sherry, but Tristan Sherry is a better ruckman than Callum Coleman-Jones. So it depends what he wants to do. If he sort of wants to sort of phase Goldstein out a bit, we tried to do that last season.
I just think if you were looking at a pure forward line ruck situation, if let's just say Goldstein's playing round one, I'd rather see Comben, Larky and Zerha as the three major forwards because I can't see how it works with Larky, Comben, Zerha and a ruckman sitting in that forward line. It just makes us too top heavy. I think it's going to be tough for both Cherry and Callum Coleman-Jones to get regular games. In fact, if I was Callum Coleman-Jones, I'd be saying for the time being, I'd maybe focus on my forward craft.
I think he should do that anyway because I think he's a better forward than Ruckman.
Yeah, I agree.
And even a small sample size of his career is showing more potential as a forward than a ruck. Yeah, you've seen it with Richmond in particular, where he's had a couple of really good games playing as a forward, kicking, you know, three or four goals or whatever in a couple of games. So
that's right.
Yeah, I think that's what he's got to focus on. I don't know if they've told him, look, he comes to the club as a ruckman. We see you as a future ruckman, and they've given him every opportunity this season. He just hasn't taken it. Whereas as a forward, he has shown glimpses, little glimpses.
You're going. Well, I was just going to say, I mean, and you can't really base anything on last on our forward structure and the way it was coming in last year was hard for anyone. I'd hope he trains over summer with the forward group, and you know, I think he'll get an opportunity there. And I think, you know, Goldstein will probably play sort of 10 or 15 games, and they'll try and get some games to Cherry as well. I'm not sure if they'll play both at the same time though. Just for that balance of the forward line, it just didn't work last year. It didn't look right.
It was way out of whack.
It's all right if you've got a Charlie Cameron and those sort of players like Brisbane do running around causing havoc. But we don't have that at this stage, although obviously very happy with Curtis and their development. But, yeah, that'll be the interesting part next year. I think that's that whole ruck and forward setup is going to be there's a bit to play out there. But we've invested a fair bit to Callum Coleman-Jones. In terms of both length of contract and money, so you know they'll have to work out what's the best option there.
Yeah, 100%. We might as well talk about a forward, and we might as well talk about our ex player. Now, I've got two questions for you.
Mm.
What the fuck is Jason Lefrits wearing North Melbourne gear training? Mm. And are we making too much of this Cameron Zerha comment? And is it blowing up too much in the media?
Oh, I think Cameron Zerha's just having a bit of fun. I think it's just all tongue in cheek for him. I don't think he's being. This is a guess. I'm not talking to the. Oh, sorry, I've talked to one player, but I'm not going to talk about the whole group. But they're not big fans of him, Jason or Francis. The playing group as a overall, he wasn't great. I'm not talking about a teammate on the ground, but more off the ground, I think. But he wasn't great on the ground with some of the comments as well.
Mm.
But I think we're just going to – I don't think there's much point wasting too much energy on Jason Horne-Francis. I think Zerha's just having a bit of fun with it. I think obviously he's not the biggest fan, and I think a lot of the playing group are happy he's moved on. I think it's best for the club. I'd heard mid-year they were looking at it pretty hard then, and I think it's happened. I think Kane Corns is kidding himself if he thinks Jason Horne-Francis' issues were all the North's fault last year. That's absolute nonsense. If that was the case, we would have had three or four players leaving, not just the one.
No, that's right.
So I look, Gary Ablett Sr., Hawthorne moved him on from Hawthorne in the very early 80s. They knew damn well how talented he was, but they just, from a cultural perspective, they think it wasn't worth it. And they won a lot of flags, and Gary Ablett Sr. never played in one. And I don't think Jason Horne-Francis is as talented as Gary Ablett Sr., but he's behaving like that. So I think we just have to move on. We've got picks 2 and 3. I think Wardlaw and Sheasel are good, two great Victorian kids, if they're the two we get. I'm not going to waste too much energy worrying about what happens with Jason. I think, you know, hopefully for his sake, he grows up. You know, maybe the behaviour was all about the fact he knew he wanted to go back there, so he deliberately didn't try and fit in with North. I don't know. The whole thing's very bizarre, but... if you're going to demand to be the number one pick, then you've got to commit to the club you go to. So I thought it was poor, but at the end of the day, it is what it is, and I think we should all move on. And I don't think it's even worth getting too upset about it. Kane Corns is obsessed about it, but I just let him have his fun with it. I don't think it matters. I think we've just got to get on with things. It's a bit like Nathan Buckley not coming to North in the when he'd agreed to come and then changed his mind in the it was at mid-90s, just before then, around 93, 94?
Yeah, 1992, Greg Miller got him to come across for a future second-round draft pick or something like that, second-round draft pick, which is basically nothing. He already seen the talent in him, and AFL propped up and said, no, he's on, because it was a white piece of paper, it was supposed to be on a blue piece of paper or some rubbish like that.
God.
Yeah, I know, it was very petty, sort of thing. So, But yeah, like Jason Francis, he's like that ex girlfriend that has left you for someone else, and then still messages you saying she still has feelings for you and stuff.
Oh, like I didn't even ask you a question about the gear him wearing. I just think that's just a lack. It just again shows his lack of maturity. Like, just use some common sense, mate. Don't put on North gear. Like, why would you do that? It's just silly.
I'm sure he can afford his own gear. So
I'm pretty sure he can. Yeah, I'd be wearing anything but North Melbourne gear. It's just an odd. I just think, again, he doesn't think that clearly yet. He's a bit immature. That's being a bit kind about his intelligence levels. But, that was just odd. Very strange.
Well, he's looking a lot trimmer already because I reckon probably the last 5 to 6 weeks he got a bit heavy. And that's probably just lack of interest, maybe. I'm not too sure. He let himself go, I reckon. So,
what do you remember?
And now he looks, now that he's left, he looks a lot trimmer. His arms look a lot more toned than they were at North Melbourne. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, look, as most players do. Now, by the way, talking of that, Jackson Archer looks like he's really put on some muscle.
Yeah, I reckon he's put on 5 or 6 kilos of it too.
I got a shock when I saw that photo. I thought, Christ, he's looking like the size of his dad. He looks really strong. I'm very excited about what he might do next year. I think because that was the only thing he was lacking was a bit of strength, and you wouldn't know it the way he attacked it last year. So, he'll be exciting to watch next year, I think. So, you're right about the ex-girlfriend analogy. You can't worry about who they're going out with now. You just got to worry about yourself. So. Yeah, I think I'm excited about Sheezor and Wardlaw, and we've got first round of next year. We've got those couple of picks in the 40s, and I'm at pick 23. I'll be interested to see who they're earmarking, who they must think is around the mark that they could get there. I think hopefully they're going to go for another key forward, potentially, or a key defender around that mark, or a small forward, I guess, would be the other option. They must have someone in mind, you would think.
I mean, like at the end of the day, we've probably always got to go a little bit needs based with what we want now. We've got a million midfielders. There's no point getting another midfielder. So it would be more important that we get another key forward, a prospect of a key forward, I guess, even a key back. Yeah. And or a rebounding defender, whatever we need, really. So
or a fast small forward would be the other.
That's what I was going to say as well. So we'll see how we go. Anyways, Mark, did you want to add anything else before I let you go?
No, I'll just the only other thing I'll say is exactly your point there is exactly why we have to pick up Sheezel, because he's something different that we don't have.
Yeah, I mean, we've got to go needs based now. Yeah. So there's no point getting two more midfielders when we've got abundant number of them. So on a list, so it's a bit imbalanced, the list. I think we've got two more midfielders on it at the moment. So it'd be nice to sort of correct that a bit over this draft period. So
And even Cooper Harvey's, he's a forward. He's pretty much a mid himself, isn't he? Really?
Pretty much. Yeah. So. Yeah.
So we're not going to be short of mid. So Sheez will be good to get something different for sure.
No, 100%, 100%. Well, anyways, Mark, really appreciate you coming on the show, and I'll try and chat to you soon.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Dino.
So thanks to Mark for coming on the show once again. Much appreciated, and much appreciated as well with all the likes, retweets, and comments all you lovely listeners are putting out there. Ian Barron's, Rue Sewitt, I think it is, Daniel Powell, Patrick Allwood, you guys are really putting the show out there, particularly for the AFL Women's downloads I do and shows I do for them. When I first did this 12 months ago, the downloads were as half as much and the plays were as half as much as they are today. So that's full credit to all you lovely listeners for putting the show out there and getting it out there to all other North supporters and AFLW fans in general. Anyways, that's it for this episode. Like I said, I should be back tomorrow night, probably joined by Loza to talk North Melbourne versus Richmond coming up 3:10 p.m. this Sunday. Big game for the girls team. We could finish as high as third if results really go our way, or we could finish as low as eighth if we do lose this weekend. So it's all to play for. It's almost a finals. The finals will always come one week early for the girls. Yeah, so, yeah, it's going to be interesting. So I'll try and definitely get Loz on tomorrow night. Look, I do have a lot of stuff going on in my personal life at the moment. So, yeah, I mean, things could change pretty quickly, and you might not get a podcast. But, yeah, I'll definitely do everything I can to get the show out there to all you lovely listeners, all you AFLW fans. Anyways, that's it. So today I will leave a shout-out to Justin Staritsky. Bye for now.